Hey, it's great to see you all out here. It's cold enough. I had to dig out a sweater. How many of you like the cold? Okay, some of you. As I said last week, if it doesn't come with the blizzard, you can keep it. I love snow. I grew up in Denver, and I loved having to look out the window, getting to look out the window and not seeing the cars because they were buried. I love that kind of winter. So I'm praying for that kind of snow. If you are an anti-snow person, you don't want to be at this church. I'm just joking. That sounds really awkward. Welcome, okay? Welcome. My name is John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill, and we want to welcome you. If you're visiting with us here today, we would love to get to know you better. We want to be a church family. We want to connect. We want to not just be a place where people come and sit for an hour and kind of check a box and go on about their life. We want to help you be all that God has called you to be. And today we're going to be talking more about what God is calling Hope Hill Church to be. And so that'll come in just a few minutes. All right. So let's dive into our Bible study for today. Today we are wrapping up a series that has been called The Call. For those of you who are visiting, my voice is not normally like this. I was at a crazy wedding yesterday. But that's not why my voice is gone. They had like this parade in the streets. It was awesome. But I had surgery about a month ago, and my voice may take about 2 months before it recovers fully. So just bear with it. I'm not in pain. People have come up to me and say, "Does that hurt?" It's just harder to talk than normal, but we're good, and hopefully you can endure the sound of it. But anyway, we're going to start off letting you do some talking this morning, and we're going to go volunteer. No one's going to be forced to talk, but I need 10 of you to come on up. Brian's going to have a microphone. I need 10 of you. We're going to lay this some foundation for this morning. We're going to do a couple things. We're going to summarize where we've been the last month, and we're going to lay really kind of the structure of all these supporting verses to really give us a full picture of what God has called this church to do, how to be, and how to be living in our community. And so I need 10 volunteers who don't mind reading from Scripture, but to help save my voice a little and give you a chance to participate, we're going to do it this way. So I need 10 people who are willing to read just to come on up. Come on up here. Come on up. All right. Sounds good. You'll do that. Brian, come on over. I need 9 more. Yeah, come on up. I need 8 more. 7. 7 more. 7 more. Come on. Let's do this, John. Thank you. Kenneth, come on up. All right, how many we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need 5 more. There you go. Keep coming. 4 more. 4 more. Okay, Kathy, great. 3 more. 3 more. Just stand up here. There we go. 2 more. Last hour, we had a little girl start us off. Do we have any kids that want to read? Come on up. We got, okay. If any kids want to come, we'll make one of these adults sit down. All right. So we're going to dive into Scripture. Will you join me in prayer real quick as we prepare our hearts to hear from God's Word? God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you have given us your Word as beautiful instructions to live our lives by. God, I pray that as we hear your Word this morning, that you would have it just to richly pierce our hearts, to cause your DNA to invade every area of our life so that we would see our mission, our calling from you and how to live here on this earth. God, be with us now. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're just going to go down the line. Some of you are going to get short passages. Some of you are going to get long. They're not too long, so don't be nervous. We'll just go one at a time. So the first passage, some of these are going to be very familiar, and you're going to be like, "Didn't we read this one a week ago?" Well, that's the point. We want you to like memorize these verses. But like Simon says, we've been saying that a lot lately, we don't only want you memorizing what God says, we want you to do what God says. So here are some verses, some new, some familiar, but all kind of laying the foundation for the same theme. So our first one, Genesis chapter 12.
The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
All right, our next passage.
Now therefore, it will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, and you shall be my treasured possession among all my people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be my people, and my priests, and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel.
Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah 6:8.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14.
Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation.
He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Luke 24:46-48.
And again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. John 20:21.
But you receive power, and the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 Peter 2:9-10.
Amen. Amen. These verses are the foundation and the DNA of who we are as the children of God. If you've put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ our Savior and God our Father, this is the DNA that should be running through your veins. God is a sending God. From the beginning of time in Genesis chapter 1, he created man and woman in his image. And yes, sin entered the world through our choosing to not necessarily follow him, but to do things our own way. But from that beginning, God has been pursuing us. God has been sending loved ones, prophets, teachers, his Holy Spirit, his own Son. He has been a sending God, sending us, reaching out to us, pursuing us, so that we would be in this loving relationship. The greatest commandment of all is to love God with all our heart, with all our soul and being, all our mind, all our strength. And the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself. God is a sending God. From the beginning, we have been God's plan. We have been chosen. The verse is there. You are a chosen people. You sitting in this room, you are here for a purpose and here for a reason. You have been chosen. God picked you. God chose you to be his priests, his ministers to those in this world. For too long, our churches have been filled with people who look to the hired staff, the professionals, to do the work of God. But God has equipped you, the body of Christ, to be his hands and feet. I'm here to encourage you and to be a pastor and shepherd to some of you, but God has gifted many of you to be pastor shepherds, to be teachers, to be doctors, lawyers, teachers, all cleverly disguised as missionaries, and God has sent each of us. The truth is that if you are a follower of Christ, this land is not your home. The way this world is wired and going, we are like aliens and strangers in this world, ambassadors, citizens of the kingdom of heaven, declaring his love and his light to this fallen world. We're here to bring hope, That's what this church is about. When this church started in our home, in our living room, about 5 years ago, there was a small group of us. And from the beginning, the questions being asked were, how are we going to be the church? Not how are we going to have a service on a Sunday morning? We do that. You're here. But that is not what the church is. The questions we were asking is, what was the church to be from the beginning? And we've been studying the scriptures over this series. We've been looking at Acts chapter 2, how we were to care for each other. We were looking at these foundational verses that we just read through and how God, from the beginning, he said the church was my plan to usher in the kingdom of heaven. We have our work, our mission, our jobs cut out for us. And the question is, are we doing it? Are we accepting this call that God has called into our life, and are we following in the footsteps of Jesus? 5 years ago, after a week of meetings, Brandy and I decided we needed a date. Brandy's my wife, by the way, in case you didn't know. We needed a date night, and so we had been through a week of meetings. We had literally been giving every day, 7 days a week, to helping start this new church, and we hadn't officially started. We were actually a couple months from officially having a service, but our house was getting filled. We started having informational meetings in May, and by August there were 80 people coming to our home right around the corner. That's a lot of people, even for a big house God blessed us with. And we knew that God was up to something. 20 years ago, as I shared with you, I think it was last week, God began to give us a vision for one day planting a church that wouldn't just be a building on a corner somewhere, but would be a group of people equipped, empowered, and enabled to transform a community, to make a difference in the world. And last week, we began to show you some pictures from some other churches who are doing things we feel like God wants us to be doing. Churches that we can look at and follow in their footsteps, kind of say, how did you do that? What are the legal aspects that you had to go through to make that happen? Today we'll have some more pictures to show you. I was in the community this past week, and I was reminded that 5 years ago, on that date night that Brandy and I decided to go out, we drove down 234 to get on the highway to head up to Potomac Mills. We were just going to have dinner out and watch a movie. And if you have a better way, don't tell me. I have my ways. I'm stubborn. Okay. So we drove down to 234 to get on 95. And we stopped at the Shell gas station there, close to the McDonald's. Some of you know where I'm talking about. We had lived in this community probably since 96, so for a long time. And I had never seen what God opened up my eyes to that night. We pulled into the gas station. I'm pumping gas. We're getting ready to go to the movie. And all of a sudden, I look behind my car, and I see this trailer park behind the gas station that I had never seen. Some of you lived there, but several of you know what I'm talking about. You didn't know there was a trailer park there. While I was pumping gas, God began to lay on my heart this weird, attractive feeling towards that neighborhood. I couldn't explain it, but I knew, okay, God, I'll check it out later this week. We've got a date to get to. So I finish pumping the gas, and I get in the car, and I start it, and Brandy says, did you see that trailer park back there? I was like, I did. I didn't know there was a park there. And she said, we should drive in there. So that's our date night. She was like, no, I think God wants us to drive in there. So when your wife says something like that, you better listen, right? Yes. And so we drove back into the trailer park, and to be honest, we never made it to the movies. We drove around the neighborhood just kind of praying and saying, having our eyes open to what God might want to do there. We live in this neighborhood, Ashland. Several of you live in this neighborhood. And we felt like from the beginning, 20 years ago, that God was going to use a church like ours to build bridges, helping bring people of different socioeconomic statuses together to worship him together, to bless one another, to care for one another. And so while we were there, we got to thinking about something that was about to happen. When we pulled out of our community, we saw the sign that shared that the Ashland yard sale was about to happen. You know those community yard sale days when everybody kind of gets out and does it together? How many of you like yard sales? How many of you like doing yards? Not going. Exactly. I hate them. I think they're of the devil. somewhere that's in the Bible. But I hate holding a yard sale. I mean, for us, it's pulling all this junk out, putting prices on it, having to argue with people, and then putting it all away. It's a pain, okay? So I said, I have this great idea, and it's a very spiritual, godly idea. Why don't we not do a yard sale? Instead, let's bring all our stuff to this trailer park and just say, hey, it's all free. If anybody needs this stuff, let's do it. And we shared that with that small group that was meeting in our home. And they all said, let's do it together. And then before we knew it, we had so much stuff that Anna Guerrero, is she translating today? She's back there translating live right now what I'm saying into Spanish. And before we knew it, she was like, why don't we do it at my elementary school? She works at a school, Mary Williams Elementary, or at least at that time. Are you still there? Yes, she's still there. And she said, why don't we, since we have so many families, why don't we just do it in the gym and invite all the, there's a lot of families who are poor and in need. A lot of the families from those trailer parks go to that school. Let's just do it there. We can be undercover. And before we knew it, we had a gym this size full of dressers, appliances, clothes, shoes, and that became our very first free sale. We now do these at least once a year, and the idea was, how do we use our stuff to bless others? This is the foundation of the church. We just read all these passages of Scripture, how he said to Abraham, I'm going to use you to birth a nation. That nation, you're going to be a royal priesthood. Through you, the world will be blessed. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. We did this for this community. Over 400 families showed up. The gym was emptied. We didn't have to haul anything away that first year. And since then, we've now reached out to thrift stores and other organizations who have come and taken whatever we couldn't give away. And we do this regularly. Our next one will probably be in May. But that year, we hadn't even the church wasn't even official yet. We had just been meeting in our home, and a group of people said, let's do this. We did that in September. In October, where we are now, we were like, how can we be a blessing again to those same families? So we invited all those families to what we called our first Fall Fest. And at that Fall Fest, we had inflatables, and we had face painting, and we had candy, and all those typical giveaways. But we said, let's be a blessing to the kids in those neighborhoods. I grew up in a trailer park for a few years during my elementary school years. I lived in a trailer park, and I was lucky if I got like a cool mask, you know, those kind with the rubber band that your little brother could pull and smack you in the face. Yeah, I had one of those. It was a Batman, and the rest of the outfit was a couple cool belts that I stole out of my dad's closet, and tapes and tools that I could, and I made my own Batman costume. And I was like, how can we be a blessing to these kids who maybe can't afford a costume? And so that year we had these racks full of donated costumes. And as kids showed up, we just said, here's a free costume. Go pick one out. And we were a blessing again. And the next month was November. We were talking to these families saying, you know, we are a church, but we want to bless you. We want to help you, however. And so we got connected with 17 of those families. And several of you in community groups, or you pulled together friendships. And I remember Terry with Brenda and David Beach got together, and they filled a box with the turkey and stuff. And they went, and we went into these communities, and we gave them Thanksgiving meals. We said, we don't only want to give you food. We want to pray for you. Is there anything we can pray with you about? And we blessed them and for Thanksgiving. And several of the families, we said, how is Christmas going to be for you guys? You guys have 5 kids. Some of the families we blessed had 3 families sharing 1 trailer. How are you going to be for Christmas? Last year, we've now done this each year. Last year, over 100 families were taken care of for Christmas by this church, by you pulling together your resources and going back to these communities to be a blessing. 1 month after the next, God opened up the doors and allowed us to use something to get outside of these walls. This is not the church. You are the church. And what we do outside of here is us being the church. We are getting ready to go back to these communities on Wednesday night to put a boo bag on every single door and to pray over them. We will then go back in November, and we will give every family in those communities a pie. just to say Happy Thanksgiving. We know some of them don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Hey, have a pie anyway. Everybody likes pie, right? Well, if you don't like pie, there's something wrong with you. But we will go back at Christmas. Other organizations have learned about what we're doing and are getting behind us and sponsoring what we're doing. Toys for Tots has provided all the toys we need. If you have a family you know that needs toys this year, in the name of Jesus, let's go get those toys out of our storage closet. Get to know that family. If they've got an 8-year-old boy that loves Transformers, there's a Transformers bag waiting for you to come and pull Transformers out of it and to be the hands and feet of Jesus and give that toy to a child in need. This is the kind of way that we see God building this church. I was having a conversation after a choir concert at Forest Park this year. I ran into a family who I used to be on staff at First Baptist Church, and a family came up that was close to us there and said, "How's it going at Hope Hill Church? We're hearing great things. Do you have a building yet?" And I said, "Yeah, we actually have great building. Ashland Elementary is amazing." "Oh, well, when are you going to get a building?" And we said, "Well, we're working on that. God is giving us vision for our future building. But it's not going to be a stained glass cathedral on a corner somewhere. I want to give you a picture of what our buildings are going to look at. Will you watch this video?"
"You know, honey, I remember that Saturday night prayer meeting we had on our South Campus in Palm Beach Gardens." "Yeah." "When the Lord brought the vision to your heart" "Mm-hmm." "for our Placeville Children's Home." "Mm-hmm."
"Yes, we were in prayer, and as I was reading from Isaiah chapter 1, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, it was as if there was a compelling command from the heart of God for us to participate with our children right here in this local region of loving them and bringing them in."
"You know, we had no idea that we were going to touch thousands of children from" "No." "that vision, but praise God that God gave you that vision, and Christ Fellowship, you embraced that vision, and because of that, we have helped bring hope to thousands of children's lives."
"I'm Charles Bender. I'm the executive director of Place of Hope, and I'm standing here in our Kirkwood Family Cottage at our Paxson campus. We house up to 44 children on this campus, and it's really hard to believe that in May 1st of 2001, we launched this campus. Our first little 5-year-old girl moved here with her siblings. And today, we've expanded into 6 different locations, and we have over 125 kids that are all in state custody. They've all been removed from their families for abuse and neglect. And now they're all over the county, and we're able as a ministry to care for them. The Lord has allowed us to expand to become the largest provider in the county, and we've got a lot more to do because we are facing a crisis in our community right now on the numbers of kids that are entering the child welfare system. So we're thankful to Christ Fellowship and our founding and our heritage and all the support that we receive to this day."
"I'm Josh Colcana. I'm the director of foster care, adoption, and independent living at Place of Hope. I'm standing here on our Villages of Hope campus where we can house up to 14 young adults at a time. When a foster child turns 18, a lot of times there's no place for them to go and no support to help them get to independence. On this campus, we have mentors, tutors, we have life coaches that help them get a job and keep a job, help them with their finances, help them make sure that their educational goals are being met so they truly can move to a place of independence. As of January 1, we're even launching a new extended foster care program in response to the state of Florida's new initiative. With that, we'll open 4 new beds on this campus, reaching a total of 18 kids at any given time. We're excited to help these kids achieve their goals and truly be independent."
"We're standing in front of Joanne's Cottage. This is the most unique maternity home for pregnant teenagers in crisis in Palm Beach County. We're able to move girls in here in crisis pregnancy who can then learn how to raise their children, have a healthy pregnancy, give birth to their children, and then even very uniquely move back into another wing of the facility and actually learn how to parent their children and then transition to healthy adulthood through all the trainings and support services that we provide in this family-based environment just like our Paxson campus. And then we can move them from here seamlessly into one of our family duplexes here on our main campus at Villages of Hope so that they can then spend the next couple of years parenting their children and learning how to be successful young adults."
"In 2013, your generosity made the dream of Hope House Florida become a reality. This is the first home on the east coast of Florida that is dedicated to the long-term care and the restoration of young, minor girls that are being rescued out of the nightmare of sex human trafficking industry. Our partnership with Place of Hope has had a powerful impact on the hearts and the lives of the girls that walk through our doors, and you're a part of that. Thank you so much for your sacrificial giving that continues to breathe hope and life into girls that are in desperate need of a touch from our God.
So I'm standing here in Treasures for Hope. It's a ministry of Place of Hope. It's a charity store. And it was started for three reasons. Number one is to make people aware of Place of Hope. Number two, the funds that are generated through Treasures for Hope directly impact Villages and Joanne's Cottage. And number three, those youth that are in Villages or Joanne's Cottage can get jobs here. They're learning responsibility, they're getting mentored, and they're integrated back into the workforce in a great way.
As you can see by the summary of our programs, together we've been able to create a comprehensive child welfare organization, together caring for abused and neglected children throughout our community, from birth all the way through adulthood, and transitioning them to healthy adulthood. So we thank you for your support and all that you do to make Place of Hope a success in our county.
So over the last 5 years, we've been going into the communities where we have felt God lead us. There's a couple trailer parks that we're in often. There's a new one that, actually not new, back in 96 when I worked as a youth pastor at Christ Our Lord Church, we did an event called Project Jerusalem where we went into a neighborhood, a trailer park that still exists today. And Christ Our Lord Church continued doing ministry. They actually held their Easter service in the middle of that community last spring. We're going into each of these neighborhoods this Wednesday night to bless them with these boo bags. We will continue to keep going back, doing the things we've been talking about. Our hope is we believe that God wants us to own a trailer in each of these neighborhoods to be a place of hope, to offer tutoring services, clothing closets, food pantries, offer things like a recovery group, Bible study, Esau classes, all of these in the name of Jesus, offering hope in these places. And through you, we've been able to already start relationships and lay foundations for these things to happen. You're seeing pictures of work that's already begun through backyard Bible clubs and play groups. And we've had community groups in these neighborhoods where people are coming together for Bible study, and we're here to bring hope. There are many of you, we had a family start attending with us about a month ago, who felt God gave them a big house down here that they believe that God is going to fill with children who aren't necessarily their own to care for them. There's a family here who owns a lot of land who has come to us and said, if God shows us how, we would love Hope Hill Church to use this land to do some of these things. We have organizations like Toys for Tots who've said, here's all the toys you need. We've got a convention behind us that is saying, we'll loan you $1 million, interest free, if God shows you what you are going to do with it. We'll have to pay it back, of course, but interest free is a pretty good deal. God has a lot that he wants to do through us. He's been giving his vision. We will always have a gathering where we come together and get inspired and equipped and do worship together. But our church is going to be in the community. We want to be the kind of church that if Hope Hill Church ceases to exist, our community says, where are those who are helping us? We want to be there to be a blessing and not condemning people, but loving people into the kingdom. And it's going to take all of us working together. I want to read to you one more passage as we bring our service to a close. This is from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth to follow in the footsteps of the churches in Macedonia. He says these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. Do you see the words there that don't really go together? An extreme trial, extreme poverty, and joy. What was happening in Macedonia is the Romans were coming in, the movement of Christ was growing. They were literally losing everything for their belief. Their homes were being stripped of them, their belongings. Many of them were being persecuted and killed. And yet, they were finding joy in what God was doing through them. In the midst of the severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up into what? Rich generosity. We are called to be people of generosity. For I testify you that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege to be generous, the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So they urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, and here he is saying, you know, in Corinthians, you guys you're great, you're taking care of one another, you're growing in your knowledge and depth of Jesus Christ our Lord, but there's this area I want you to follow and grow in. He says, but since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He set the example for us. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. I know many times we give out of obligation. I got to give my... Here, God, here's your part. Go ahead, take it. But God desires a heart that desires to give. He goes on in 11 and says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do what may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one doesn't have. Jumping over to chapter 9, verse 6, he goes on and says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. So now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread, this is God giving us what we need to do what he's called us to do, and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. It will be enlarged and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. He goes on to say that as we learn to live and love this way, as we learn to be a light in the midst of darkness, others will see our generosity and come to know him in heaven. So last week we showed you a picture of a building. It's called a Hope Center. It wasn't a stained glass cathedral. It actually was very basic. It had some steel walls up. They were able to set up chairs like we do here for worship. But out of it, what happened mostly was tutoring in a community in need, passing out of food to those families who couldn't eat, an outpost for ministry. You see here on the screen vision that we have for Hope Houses in this area, trailers, women's shelters, pregnancy centers, houses for recovery. We already have a counseling center up and running with professional licensed social workers and counselors running. Some of you receive counseling through this ministry. God has so much more that he is leading us to do. And as we are generous, equipping and enabling one another, God will do so much through us. But it starts with us. And I'm so excited for what he's done already. I can't imagine what he's going to do with us in this next season. I love that we are getting the support of other organizations. I'm excited, and I hope you are too. As we close our service, I want to encourage you to think about what we've been sharing. I want you to look at yourself and say, am I being the person in this church that God wants me to be? If I'm going to be a family member here, every family member has a role to do. We have our communion tables on the side here. We're going to take communion in a minute up front, but those tables will stay there with our offering baskets on them. During our time of reflection and response, as the band comes up now and our prayer teams and communion teams get in place, I want you to sit there quietly and ask God, God, what am I to do about this? How do you want to use me? And it may be that you just start by being a person of generosity and beginning not to give one time, but to begin to invest in what God's doing here. God's blessed us so we can be a blessing. And I want to encourage you as you feel led to make your way to the side and to leave an offering to God, saying, God, here's the beginning of what I want to start giving to you as I invest in what you're doing here. God is preparing some of you to be the tutors, the mentors, the teachers, the hands and feet of Jesus in many ways. But God also wants us to use what he's blessed us with financially to be a blessing, to get behind these movements. Unfortunately, these houses that we believe God wants us to buy cost money. And doing this ministry has a cost to it. But when we bless each other, all things are possible. So let's pray. And I encourage you to respond, to come and take communion as you feel ready, to come and receive prayer as you feel you need prayer. And if you give your heart today to Christ, if all of this is new to you and you're like, you know what? I want to open my heart to this. I want to receive the love of Christ in my life. Come on up. I'd love to pray with you to receive the love and forgiveness of Christ into your life. Respond now as you feel led.